Right, we'll look at the judgment seat of Christ tonight, which is called the Bema throne. It is not a punishment throne, it's a reward throne. Bear that in mind. I'm sure you know that anyway, it's a reward throne. So would you open, please, first of all, to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Open up, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And then one verse in chapter 4, and then over to the 2 Corinthians 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I'm going to read from verse 9 through to 15. Verse 9 to 15, 1 Corinthians 3. For we are all fellow workers, that's in verse 9. Remember that. We're serving the Lord in fellowship together. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given to me, says Paul. As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds upon it. But each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and straw, or stubble, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. But if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, so as through fire. Very important verses. Chapter 4 and verse 5 now. Chapter 4 and verse 5. Therefore, judge nothing before the time, until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts, then each one's praise will come from God. So he's talking to believers, whom God will praise if we're faithful. Now go over, please, if you will, to 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we only want two verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 and 11. 2 Corinthians 5, 10 and 11. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body in our human time down here, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I also trust it well known in your consciences. The judgment seat of Christ. Well, it's not the punishment throne. That punishment was taken by the Lord Jesus at the cross. No, this is a reward throne. It's also called the Bema. It's the seat or throne of the Lord Jesus Christ, where only believers of the true church will be there. No unbelievers will be there at all. That's not it. The unbelievers will be at the great white throne later on. So this is for the redeemed body of Christ. We will be there, each one. And we'll give an account of our lives to him, how we are down here. Now, the two ways of looking at this, it will be our works, certainly, but also how we have developed and matured as Christian believers, apart from works, what we are, how we've grown, how we have matured, whatever it may be. And you can see from what we read in 1 Corinthians that the Lord Jesus will be looking for gold, silver, and precious stones. Now, what does that mean? We haven't got gold in our bodies. We haven't got precious stones in our bodies. We haven't got Well, no silver there either. So what does it mean? Well, you may think that this is our works that he will examine. It will be, of course, but he's going to examine our character, how we have grown as Christians. That's very important. Would you go forward and look in Ephesians chapter 4? I've only got half an hour, so I have to be quite brief in this one. In chapter 4 of Ephesians, would you look there, please? This is about our growth as believers, not our works, but how we've grown up to maturity in Christ. Ephesians chapter 4. First of all, verse 1, then 11 to 15, especially 15. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, I plead with you, to lead a life worthy of the calling with which you were called. Now, please go down to verse 11. Verse 11. This is the gifting to the church. And he himself, the Lord, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, teaching us that we can grow as Christians till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, maturity, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So we are being built up to a maturity that our character will be like the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that will not be down here. We grow so far, but when we're with the Lord in a new body, that will be different. We will then be in the fullness of the stature of Christ. We trust for that. So that's important. And I won't ask you to turn to this, but in Revelation 14, verse 13, it says, I quote Revelation 14, 13, our works do follow us. That is going to be at the Bema reward throne. Our works follow us. So the Lord is going to examine us in two ways. First, how we have grown in maturity in Christian character and quality of life, become more like the Lord Jesus. Secondly, our works and what we do for Christ will also be examined. Whatever ministry we have, whatever witness we have, the Lord doesn't count heads how many people we've saved. We don't save anybody. We can only witness. So let's first of all look at what these verses really mean. If you go back, please, to where we were in our reading, first reading, to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, please. If you go back to there, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and you can see what we're looking for and what the Lord is looking for here is in verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 3. We know Christ is a foundation for our Christian life. That's clear. If anyone builds on that foundation, verse 12, gold, silver, and precious stones, or wood, hay, and straw, one thing comes out very clearly. You cannot destroy gold, silver, and precious stones, but you can reduce to ashes wood, hay, and straw, or stubble, which would be worthless. So the Lord is going to examine to see how we are. Now, gold in the Bible. Well, you can go right through the Old Testament and here too. Gold in the scriptures symbolizes divine life. The life of Christ in us and how we grow. We don't become gods, of course not. We become sons and daughters of the Lord God Almighty. But the Lord is looking for Christ-like qualities and that they should grow and develop in our personal lives. They will become more Christ-like in quality of life and character. Those two things were to bear fruit in those areas. Now, you remember going back into the Old Testament, going back to the book of Exodus, needn't turn to it. When the Israelites, when they were coming out from Egypt, and they were in the wilderness, and when Moses was at the top of the mountain receiving revelation from God and his word, down below, the people were making a golden calf, weren't they, and worshipping it. So gold symbolizes deity to them. But here we are instructed that we are to grow in divine life. And that's important. Now, I'd like, if you will, please, to verify that, go on to Peter's second letter. Would you do that, please? Peter's second letter. And we're on chapter 1. Peter's second letter, chapter 1, and look at verses 2 to 4. 2 Peter, chapter 1, 2 to 4. And we'll have one or two looked at elsewhere as well. 2 Peter 1, verses 2 to 4. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and virtue, by which he has given to us exceedingly, think of that wonderful word, exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these promises you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So what happened here is that you are growing in Christ, and the very character and the quality of the life of Jesus is growing in you and I. And that is what the Lord is going to look for in our lives. So gold here symbolizes divine life, Christ-like character. And the Lord is going to look for gold in our lives when we meet him at the Bema. So that's important. Then you've got silver. What about silver? Well, silver in the scriptures right through symbolizes redemption or salvation. The Lord is going to look for the evidence of salvation in our lives. The fact that we've been saved, heaven is going to be our future home, and the Lord is going to look for the changes in our life that we become more Christ-like with the evidence of redemption shining through us in our own Christian life. Now, back in Exodus, I won't ask you to turn to, but in Exodus chapter 30, the Hebrews or Israelites were asked for a half a shekel of silver. And that was called atonement money. Now, money doesn't save anybody. We know that. But they were to give this silver. And in with that silver, it was to make sockets of the tabernacle. In other words, the tabernacle was the meeting place between God and the Israelites. And this silver was used for the boards of the tabernacle to rest in these silver sockets. And the silver socket, therefore, was the link between earth and heaven. Think of the silver was on the ground, and the boards building up the tabernacle rested in the silver, and there the people met the Lord, and the high priest met the Lord. So silver is the link between the earth, think of the silver on the earth, and heaven, which the tabernacle represented with the Ark of the Covenant there. So the silver there represented salvation. It's in Exodus chapter 30, if you want it. Now we know also that both in Genesis 37, regarding Joseph, and the Lord Jesus, they were betrayed by 30 pieces of silver. So silver did count a great deal. And the silver there, 30 pieces, that 30 pieces of silver sold Jesus into the hands of his enemies. So silver there led to the Savior to become salvation for us. You might like to think that one through. So those silver sockets was a link between heaven and earth. Silver, redemption, salvation in Jesus is our link between heaven and earth. That's very important to know that. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 1, I'll just read this to you, but I'll give you the reference. You can turn to it. I'll read it. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. You might like to make a note of that. See it later. 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. I'll read it. We were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish or spot. So silver doesn't save us. The blood of Jesus does. But silver represents, as in the tabernacle, the link between earth and heaven. Salvation is the link between earth and heaven. I think you would agree with that. So there is gold, silver, now precious stones. No, ladies, these are not necessarily these diamonds or rubies that you might have in the ring. I don't mean that at all. When Paul was writing to these believers in Corinth, we go to the letter, 1 Corinthians, they could see all around them in Corinth, pagan temples with their pillars. Today, if you ever see a postcard of, say, Athens or Corinth, all you see there is the pillar of the pagan temple. The rest has fallen in. The roof has fallen in. All you've got left is the pillar. So it's important to realize that, is that, that we as Christians are meant to be pillars in the church and to stand and keep standing for the Lord. Those pillars in those pagan temples still stand today. The rest has fallen in, thankfully, but the pillars still stand. And you and I are called to become pillars in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, standing firm when difficulties come, when pressures come, standing firm when all else around us may crumble, but not the Christian. Christian is to stand firm, not to give in, not to slip down. We are called to be pillars in the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So these are the qualities. Do you remember, I don't know, do you remember the old chorus, "Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me"? You know that one? It's an old one. But that's it, the beauty of character. Now, some of these pillars were highly decorated and colored. They were beautiful. You and I are called to be beautiful for Jesus. And let the beauty of Jesus shine in me and through me to other people. It's a challenge, isn't it? That's like the precious stones there. I wonder if you go on to the book of Revelation with me, right to the end of your Bible, in Revelation chapter 3. Would you go to Revelation chapter 3, please? And look at verse 12. Revelation chapter 3, verse 12. This is the letter that Jesus wanted sent to the church at Philadelphia, which is a very faithful, Christ-loving church. Revelation 3 and verse 12. Here's something of the words of Jesus to them and to us. "He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God," which is the true church. "And he shall go out no more," because he'll be safe. "And I will write on him," look at the reward here, "and I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name." Well, now there's a reward, if you like, for overcoming, of standing firm as a pillar and not crumbling and not giving way in the church of Jesus Christ. Challenging, isn't it? That will be rewarded. And the Lord says, "Well, I'll make you a pillar in my church for eternity." Like those ancient pillars and pagan temples, they're still standing today. You may see those on postcards, but the rest of the building is collapsed. Pillars still stand. You and I are called to be a pillar. Stand firm. Not give way under pressure. Not crumble, but stand firm. Stand upright, like a true temple. So that's important. Those are the stones. So we've been thinking about the gold, silver, and precious stones. Well, one thing that we have to be, we're living in a world which is becoming really hostile to Christians. But you and I still have to stand and stand firm. Now, I wonder, please, if you go wherever you were, if you're still in Revelation, would you go back to 2 Timothy, please? 2 Timothy. Let you find it. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Give you a moment to find it. And we want two verses there. 20 and 21. Here we have, once again, gold and silver, and then the others. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also wood and clay. Some for honor, that's the gold and silver, and some for dishonor, that's wood and clay. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these, that's wood and clay, he will be a vessel for honor. Challenging. Sanctified, useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Well, there you have it. Well, that's the gold, the silver, and the precious stones. Now, back when we read in 1 Corinthians, there was the wood, the hay, and the stubble. We'll spend a few minutes only on that. Wood, here in the New Testament, symbolizes the carnal Christian nature. Wood instead of gold. And wood symbolizes careless Christian service, not doing it wholeheartedly for the Lord. The articles of furniture in the tabernacle or the temple were mostly made of acacia wood, but they were overlaid with gold because it would be in the presence of the Lord as the high priest met there. So that's very important. Christians, well, we're like wood on our physical body. We're like wood. That's certainly true. And the tragedy is sometimes only the wood shows in our lives and not the gold of Christ. Challenging that, isn't it? Sometimes the wood shows through. Our carnality comes through instead of the gold, which is the divine life, the spiritual life. So you and I are challenged to become a spiritual man or a spiritual woman and not to be like a carnal Christian, which is wood. What about the hay? Well, hay soon burns up to ashes, doesn't it? Not much left of it at all. Now, in other words, hay is, it fills up a whole big space, doesn't it? If you just cut it and you build up big hay ricks, it's a big mound of, if you like, of dry grass. That's all it is. Sometimes hay is built up in like mounds and it's all big and bouncy and lighthearted, you know. I remember as the children used to bounce up in hay ricks. I don't know whether you ever did or not, probably. So the hay. Well, the Pharisee, they love to be seen giving gifts. They have people to blow the trumpet for them. They almost blew their own trumpet. That's where the phrase comes from. So when they gave alms and when they gave gifts, they wanted other people to notice it. They were like the hay. The hay suggests a bulky show-off. Interesting. Parading self before men instead of relating Christ before men. Well, that's the hay. The Lord doesn't want to see hay. He doesn't want to see the wood. Then you've got the stubble or straw. Well, that's all that's left after the harvest is taken. It's fit for burning or plowing in as rubbish. Now, they used to burn all the stubble in fields. They don't do it today. All they do is plow it in again because it's no value at all. What's left after the grain stalk has been taken is just pure rubbish. And the Lord doesn't want to see rubbish in our lives. He doesn't want to see hay, the bulky show-off. He doesn't want to see the stubble or straw. There's no value whatever left in the stubble or straw. So it's important. So we don't want to be stubble or straw. What the Lord wants to see in our lives is the gold, silver, and precious stones. Not the money side of it, but the value of gold, the divine life, the silver, evidence of redemption, pieces of silver, evidence of redemption, and the precious stones, that which is of great value. And you cannot destroy gold, silver, and precious stones. Wood, hay, and stubble go to ashes in no time at all. So that's important. Now, sad to say, in 1 Corinthians, it is possible that some Christians will have no reward because they've not been faithful in growing in Christ, developing spiritually, and not serving the Lord by witness and work and serving. They won't have any reward. That's rather sad. But what we read in 1 Corinthians 3, that such a person can't lose their salvation, never. No Christian can lose their salvation. But it simply means they will lose reward and they'll be ashamed it is coming. When it shows up, we've been faithless and not done much to serve the Lord faithfully, we'll feel ashamed. I don't want to be like that. I want to be faithful to the Lord. I want to be useful to the Lord. I don't want to be a bulky show-off like the Pharisee. No, I don't want to be useless rubbish like stubble or straw. I want to be what the Lord wants me to be. And that's very important. Sad to say, well, believers will lose their reward, but they will be saved. You cannot, it says, they will be saved as were by fire. We come through the refining fire of the Lord, and we will still be there in heaven with the Lord and back here in the millennium. So I wonder whether you go back, please, into the Old Testament for a change. Would you go back to Jeremiah, please? Way back in Jeremiah. And I want chapter 17. Just one verse. Jeremiah 17 and verse 10. I'm just turning to it. Jeremiah 17 and verse 10. Just a few more minutes and I have to stop. This is what the Lord does. Heart searching. Jeremiah 17 and verse 10. Jeremiah 17 verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. That means our service. He weighs us up. He searches deep into our hearts. He's a divine surgeon, if you like. That's what he does. Jeremiah 17. Now, would you go right up into New Testament again to Hebrews, please? Would you go to Hebrews? I'm on chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 4. Now, in the gospel, remember Jesus said that there will come a time when he meets us and the world later on, he will shout from the housetops what we're really like. Oh my, how about that? That's in the gospel. But Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. Hebrews 4, verse 13. There is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Wow. There we are. We've got to give an account of ourselves to God. Romans 14, verse 12. Every man will give an account of himself. Every woman give account of himself to God. That's certainly true. So we just come to an end. How do we respond to all this? Well, the Lord is looking for something good in our lives. Can I say that? The Lord is really looking for something good in our lives. And the Greek word for judge isn't to condemn. is rather to search and evaluate. Like a judge at a games or a judge at anything, he evaluates to give reward. As a judge in the correct sense, as we understand it for the church, the Lord is our judge, not to punish. He's taken that at the cross, but rather to reward at the judgment seat of Christ. Very, very important that is. So what the Lord does, so much is given to us by the Lord. Now I'd like to end with looking at the last book but one in the Old New Testament, short book of Jude. Would you go to Jude as we close? Jude, one chapter, nothing more. And I want verses 20 and 21. And this is the way we should be. Jude, verse 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling as security, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. He's going to get us there joyfully. To God our Savior, who is alone is wise, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. Amen. He is going to present us faultless one day in our new body before the throne of his Father and his own. Before the Bema throne, we're going to be presented faultless one day. We have a new body. We should then be perfect. But our life down here will be examined by the Lord, because he knows how we've been living. Build yourself up in the most holy faith. Build yourself. Grow in Christ. Be edified in the word of God. Apply it to your own life. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. All these are instructions. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Well, of course, we do our part, but the Lord does his part. So I close now with the thought that that Bema throne is coming for all of us. Every believer will stand before Christ to receive a reward, not judgment and punishment, but rather reward for faithfulness, we hope. But it says there's a possibility some may be ashamed at his coming because they've not been faithful to the Lord. They've not grown. They've not served. It's a stimulus for us to grow in Christ and be available to serve him and receive his well done, thy good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord. What a challenge. Amen.